Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Controls Personal Finance podcast, where we discuss all things money. If you had sold shares, mutual funds, jewelry, real estate, and so on in financial year 23-24, you might have ended up with capital gains or losses. Make sure you disclose it properly while filing your income tax return this month. Remember, capital gains and losses are taxed differently, and there are specific ITR forms that you need to select for filing for ITRs. What are capital assets and capital gains, and how are taxes levied on such gains? Which ITR form to select when filing for capital gains? Naveen Vadva, Vice President, Research and Advisory Division at Taxman, answers all these questions and also talks about key things to keep in mind while filing for capital gains in ITR. Let's listen in. Hello, Naveen. Welcome to Simply Save podcast.
Thanks, Abhinav, for inviting me for this podcast.
And I mean, if you can begin with what are capital assets and capital gains and how are taxes levied on such gains?
To understand what is a capital asset, and in fact, any profit or gains you're arising from a capital asset is taxable as a capital gain. So to understand this, you need to understand how your overall income is taxed. Your overall income is taxed under the five heads of income, and capital gain is one of them. And the other four heads are your salary income, income from house property, business income, other sources, and the capital gains. So any profit or gains you are arising from the capital asset is considered as your capital gain. And what is a capital asset? Capital asset, there is no exclusive definition of the capital asset in the Income Tax Act. Income Tax Act explains the inclusive definition of a capital asset. It says every property of any kind, which is held by a person, whether or connected with his business or profession, is considered a capital asset. That's the technical definition. I'll try to simplify it for the listeners. So you can say every asset or every right you have in any asset is considered a capital asset. So that will include, if I talk about the simpler asset which can be considered as capital asset, your shares, bonds, debentures, your immovable property, your gold assets. In fact, in some cases, any right you have, let's say you have booked a property, you just have the right to buy that property and you actually sell that right to somebody else, that is also a capital asset because you have that right, and every right you have in anything would be considered a capital asset. But yes, there are a few exceptions to it. Your personal assets, your personal effects like your car, your laptop, your mobile phone, they all are considered as your personal effect. And no capital gain will arise in that situation, and that would be a completely out of the preview of the taxation, provided these assets are not your business assets. So just take an example. You have an iPhone, and let's say you bought it in 20,000 rupees, and eventually you sell it for 30,000 rupees. That could be possible. In that situation, that 10,000 rupees is not taxable at all if it was not your business. And it's because it's a personal effect. So that's a simpler definition of a capital asset. And to understand more about the capital asset, in the subsequent question, we'll be talking about how your gains from properties or crypto assets or your shares and securities will be considered as a capital asset and taxable eventually as a capital gains.
Right. So, I mean, if you talk about major capital assets like stocks, bonds, how are these assets taxed? What are the tax rates on them, and does duration come into picture in terms of holding, in terms of selling? So how does this work?
A capital asset is classified into two categories. One is long-term capital asset and the second one is short-term capital asset. But I'll take a pause to explain one thing. Not every asset is classified into short-term and long-term. And why I'm saying so? Because of the recent amendments the government has made in the last two financial, through the Finance Act, Finance Act number 22 and the Finance Act 2023, wherein they brought the crypto gains and the debt-based mutual funds into the taxation purview. Rather, they were always under the taxation purview, but they brought a specific provision to tax the capital gain from the crypto assets and from the debt mutual funds. And except those assets, which we'll cover it in the subsequent part, all your assets, capital assets, are classified into long-term and the short-term. Why this classification is important? So the government does not want to levy higher rate of taxes on the genuine investors who make the investment for the long-term. So that's why they levy The tax at a lower rate on the long-term capital gains vis-a-vis the short-term capital gains. And
Okay.
this classification depends just on one thing, and that is for how long you have hold those assets. And these classifications, the period of holding, that depends on the type of capital asset you hold. Just giving you a few examples, your listed equity shares would be considered as long-term capital asset if you hold them for 12 months, vis-a-vis it would be 24 months for the unlisted shares. So just taking an example, so you buy shares on NSE of any listed company and you held it for more than 12 months, and when you sell it, the resultant capital gain will be the long-term capital gain. Vis-a-vis, if you make an investment, let's say in a startup company which is not yet listed, and you sell it after holding it for 12 months, and when you sell it, it will be considered as short-term capital gain and not long-term capital gain. You have to hold that equity shares, unlisted equity shares, for 24 months at least before you turn your capital into long-term capital gain. So there are many classifications depending on the security type for equity shares, for unit of equity-oriented funds, for unit of UTIs, means your business trust, and any kind of mutual fund. If you hold them and if they are listed one, it will be considered as the long-term capital gain, except in case of units of business trust, which will be considered as a long-term if you hold them for 36 months minimum. So if you invest in REIT or InvIT, they will not be considered as long-term capital asset if you hold them for 12 months. Just you have to hold them for 36 months. The another important property or the capital asset which would be relevant for our discussion is the immovable property. Any kind of immovable property, be it land or building, it will be considered as a long-term capital asset if you hold them for minimum 24 months, right? And all other assets will be considered as long-term capital asset if you hold them for minimum 36 months. Now here comes two exceptions. One is the crypto assets, and the second one is the specified mutual fund. In fact, the third one is the market-linked debentures. These three assets will always be considered as short-term capital asset. So if you buy crypto assets now and maybe you sell it, or your second, third, fourth generation sell it will always be considered as short-term capital asset, and short-term capital gain would be charged to tax at the rate of 30%. So you have to be very, very careful while investing in crypto assets. In case of specified mutual fund and market-linked debentures, they will be considered as short-term capital asset, but they won't be taxable at flat rate of 30%, but that will be considered as your normal other income. You remember at the beginning, I said there are five heads of income. So you can say it would be taxable just like other income, though taxable under the head of capital gain, wherein there are no special tax rate for market-linked debenture and specified mutual fund. I'll also highlight one more point of I just mentioned about special income. So guys, in Income Tax Act, your total income is divided into two parts, special income and normal income. Special income is taxable at special tax rate. Normal income is taxable at normal tax rate. Normal tax rate is like your slab rates, wherein up to 2,50,000 rupees, nothing is taxable, so on and so forth. And in case of special income, your income is taxable at the flat rate, like your long-term capital gain for listed equity share, when it is taxable at the rate of 20% in excess of 1 lakh. Your short-term capital gain is 50 taxable at 15%. So this is a special tax rate. So in case of market-linked debentures and specified mutual funds, there is no special tax rate. It will be taxable as per your normal income. So if you, let's say you invested in debt-based mutual funds and you do not have any other income, just let's say 2 lakh rupees of your income from redemption of the mutual fund, nothing would be taxable because your total income is below the exemption limit. Now coming to the crypto assets. So in case of crypto assets, as I mentioned, there is no classification into long-term and short-term. Any profit you earn would be taxable at flat 30%, even if you do not earn any other income, and the losses cannot be carried forward of the crypto assets.
Got it. So property is a very important aspect of investment in India. Can you elaborate on how gains from property are taxed?
Just like your shares, property is also taxed as either as a long-term capital gain or a short-term capital gains, right? If you hold your immovable property for more than 24 months, you can compute the long-term capital gains. And if you hold it for less than 24 months, whatever gains you earn will be taxable as a short-term capital gain. But yes, still there's a difference in the taxation of your equity shares and the property. In case of equity shares, you don't get the indexation benefit. In case of property, you get the indexation benefit. Basically, you can take it as the inflation-adjusted adjustment to your cost of acquisition. If it's a short-term capital gain, the answer is the calculation is very simple. Just simply reduce your cost of acquisition from the sale consideration. And if you have incurred any expenditure like your brokerage commission you have paid to the broker or any cost of improvement you have incurred like denting, painting, you made another floor, then the resultant amount would be taxable as capital gain and there won't be any indexation benefit. So that's how you pay taxes on the gain from the property. There's another exemption which there's an exemption which you can claim while dealing with the property, and that is under Section 54 or 54F or 54 EC. So these are the four three exemptions which you can claim, and I think that's all for the property taxation.
Now, some investors may also indulge in futures and tradings. Are gains taxed in this scenario different? Is there a separate ITR to be filed in this case?
Yes, definitely. So future and options are not taxable as your capital gains. Any profit or losses you incur from the future and options, they would be taxable, considered for taxation under the head of business income. Now, what does that mean? That means there will be a change in the ITR form. Earlier, you were required to file your capital gains in ITR 2 if you don't have any other business income. So if you are just a salaried person earning income from salary and capital gain from the stock market or from any other asset, then you can file your return of income in ITR 2, which is pretty larger than ITR 1 but smaller than ITR 3 and pretty simpler than ITR 3. What tax it will apply to the losses from the futures and options? So it will be considered as just as your normal business income. And if it's a profit, it will be taxable as your applicable tax rate. If it's a loss, you cannot set it off against your salary income or against your capital gain. You will have to carry it forward to the next year until you again do the future and trading options, future and options trading, and also earn some profit. And you can set off these losses against those gains. You can do
Okay.
that. Currently, it is not considered as a speculative transaction. What is the difference between speculative and non-speculative? They are just two differences. A speculative losses can be carried forward just for 4 years. Non-speculative losses can be carried forward for 8 years. Difference number one. Difference number two, speculative losses can be set off only against speculative profits.
Okay.
But business losses can be set off both against speculative gains and non-speculative gains.
Naveen, what if someone incurs losses in stock investing? How to show this loss in ITR?
So in schedule relating to the capital gains, you simply do your calculation. Either schedule capital gains or 112 is scheduled. You enter the details, it will automatically compute the losses. And once the losses are computed in the relevant schedule wherein you set off your losses, it will do the automatic calculation. But that's the automatic part. But if I have to explain what the law says, so the law says your long-term capital losses cannot be set off against your short-term capital gains. But short-term capital losses can be set off both against long-term capital gain and short-term capital gain, but they will set off within this group only. A long-term, any kind of capital loss cannot be set off against any other income, right? So, guys, if you are a salaried person, so you have seen that your losses under the head of house property can be easily set off against your salary income. But this set off will not be allowed in case of capital losses. It cannot be even set off against your derivative gains. So let's say you earn 1 lakh rupees of derivative gain, but you incur 50,000 rupees of capital losses, you still pay tax on 1 lakh rupees. You cannot set off that 50,000 rupees against that 1 lakh rupees.
Naveen, why selecting the correct ITR is important?
For an individual, there are four ITR forms: ITR 1, 2, 3, and 4. ITR 1 is pretty simple. If you don't have any capital gain or business income, there are a lot of other factors. I am not explaining all of them. So simply saying, if you do not have capital gain and business income, ITR 1 is for you. If you have capital gain but no business income, ITR 2 is for you. If you have business income and you are claiming the presumptive tax scheme, then ITF 4 is for you. Otherwise, you have the business income and not going for presumptive scheme, ITF 3 is for you. That's a very high level distinction between these ITF forms. But now coming to the point why choosing an ITF form is really, really important. There are certain income which can be disclosed only in this relevant ITR only. Just take the example of crypto gains. If you have earned the crypto gains, there is no schedule to report your VDA income. This is called VDA, virtual digital assets. Right. There is no schedule in ITF 1 and ITF 4 to report your VDA income. That can be reported only in ITF 2 and ITF 3, right? So if you forgot or you still chose to file return in ITF 1, so what will happen? You will forget to declare your income from the VDA. Had there been an income, no problem. Had there been income, now you carry a risk of department is starting a scrutiny assessment against you, wherein they can levy a charge upon you that you underreported or misreported your income, and then it can levy a penalty of 50 to 200% of the tax that has been evaded because of non-reporting of such income in the ITR form, right? So that's reason number one. In case of gain, as I mentioned, these would be the consequences if you choose the wrong ITR form. Had there been losses, there won't be any consequence on the from the department side, but yes, on your side, you will lose out some losses which can be carried forward. However, in case of crypto losses, it cannot be carried forward. But let's say, had there been losses from the stock market or from the property, you couldn't carry it forward had you chosen the wrong ITF form. If you choose the right ITF form, there would be losses computed in the ITF form, and that can be carried forward to the next year. And when you file it in for the next year, you will see that those losses are automatically appearing in your ITF forms. That's why choosing the right ITF form is very, very important. It will decide whether you have done a correct reporting of your income, whether you have done correct disclosure of all the information which you have the obligation to disclose. And one of them is Schedule FA. Schedule FA, basically, it wants you to declare, disclose all your foreign assets and foreign income you're holding outside India. And this schedule, again, is not found in ITF 1 and ITF 4. This is available in ITF 2 and 3 only. Right. So if you don't make a disclosure, if you either choose the wrong ITF form or you make a wrong disclosure, guys, there will be a flat penalty of 10 lakh rupees. And the tribunal has confirmed it. You can't run away from this penalty. So be very, very careful while choosing the right ITF form.
All right. Now, last question is, what are the things to keep in mind when filing ITR for capital gains?
First one which I'll choose will be the right ITF form. And how you can do that right ITF form? There's a utility on the e-filing portal. After login, when you go and start preparing your return of income, there is a window wherein you can take the assistance of that tool on the e-filing portal. It will ask you certain question, and then you can decide which ITF form you can choose for reporting of your income. That's number one. Number two, learn how to create a distinction between short-term and long-term, right? In few type of assets, the ITF forms will ask you to give the details of date of purchase and date of sale, but in many cases, it will not ask you. It will ask you to do it yourself. If you make a wrong calculation of the number of days you have held those shares, it can cause severe implications. You can convert your long-term capital gains into short-term and vice versa. If there is a short payment of tax, you will have severe consequences. If there is no short payment of tax, though there won't be no severe consequences, but you will lose out, you will be paying more taxes to the government, which you were anyways not entitled, not liable to pay. So try to understand how you can differentiate between short-term and long-term capital asset. My third point would be, if it's a long-term, try to see what is the cost inflation index for the relevant year, except in case of shares. Are you selling any property, immovable property? Then you are entitled for the indexation benefit. Take those indexation benefit, because otherwise you will be again paying more taxes. Another point is, I have seen many people who do not know that they can claim a deduction for certain cost of improvement they incur. So let's say they extended their house, they built another floor, they constructed another room, they renovated their entire house, they spend money on interior decorations. All these are the your cost of improvement, which you can claim a deduction, and that will eventually reduce your capital gain tax liability. That's my another point. I'll take another point of advance tax.
Sure.
Advance tax is again very important. You have the obligation to pay advance tax, and that advance tax is linked to your total income. So you have to compute your estimated income for the entire year and pay advance tax on it. But yes, in case of capital gain, you can't predict whether there will be any capital asset, capital gain or not. Possibly in quarter one, I have earned some profit, but in year two, I'll lose out some money. So that means at the end, I didn't earn anything. So why should I pay advance tax? So that's why they just in the capital gain schedule, the ITF form will ask you to give a breakup of the capital gains you have earned on or before the specific date. So basically, there are five dates. 15th June, 15th September, 15th December, 15th March, and 31st March. So you have to give the capital gain you have earned before these dates, which I have just mentioned. So accordingly, it will compute if you were liable to pay any capital gain tax, the advance tax. If yes, it will compute the interest under Section 234C, and you will have to pay that interest at the time of filing of your return of income.
Yeah, that's it from my side, Naveen. Thank you for talking to us.
Thanks, Abhinav.
That's it for now. With that, it's a wrap of this edition of Simply Save. For more news, views and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.